I'm gonna speak from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8 today. So if you want to, or 4 to 9, I guess. If you want to get that ready. Before I get into that, we've every other Tuesday, there's a bunch of us that get together to go through the home church pastors training and equipping. And as part of that, we've been going through this idea of gospel fluency and what it looks like and means to apply the gospel to your everyday life, to the everyday stuff that you go through. That, you know, the gospel, the good news, is not just something that we benefit from at the end, you know, when we die. That it's not just the good news that Jesus made a way for us to live in eternal life with him. It is that, but it's also something that we can live in and apply to our lives every day. And so we've been learning about that and just like practicing that and what it looks like, and going through some practical things like to identify like idols in your life and things in your heart that need to be addressed. And it's been challenging and it's been encouraging, and like it forces you to look at stuff in your own life, you know. And who doesn't like doing that? Who doesn't like looking at themselves and finding all the uncomfortable things to work out? And like just opening yourself up to the Lord for correction, you know, and repentance, and it leads to freedom. So it's worth it, but it's hard. So yeah, doing work on yourself is hard, or letting the Lord do work on you is hard, more than doing work on yourself. And so that's been this like great equipment. And then on the other side, in my real life, I found myself dealing with like this anxiety and fear and worry and doubt, and trying to line these two things up. And you know, the good news was like I've had a lot of opportunity to practice this stuff, this gospel fluency stuff. But do you ever get that feeling like in your gut where you're just like it's like you're anxious and you're nervous, or like you feel it, you feel your heart pounding, you feel like you're going to be sick, you have that like tense feeling in your belly, and you know, maybe your mind is racing. And I just like the last probably couple of months now, is it? The last couple of months been living in that that place where that's almost just this constant feeling, you know, like every situation I feel this like kind of punch in my gut. And and then just going, as I've gone through this gospel fluency, this training, it's like just that realization that, you know, the gospel is a solution to this. Like there's something in the gospel that I can take and put on this situation. I don't have to live in that place. And that's part of what I want to share this morning, is that if you're dealing with anything really, but the stuff that I'll share of my kind of recent experience has been that fear and anxiety and worry and doubt, and you know, that there's a way out, that there's a way out of this stuff, and we don't have to live in that way. And I want to share practically what that could look like, or what it's looked like for me. And so just to give you a bit of background, right? So I've probably shared about this before. It seems to be like the ongoing basis of my problems is my job. And I probably should just take that. So last year maybe I've been dealing with just an awful lot of pressure. I work in a relatively small company, but my team is about 40 to 45 people. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on. There's a lot of things to coordinate, lots of pressures to deliver and to kind of follow through on investment. And I've been feeling really, really stuck recently. Like there's no way out for a number of reasons. Unfortunately it's not just as straightforward as being able to leave, or at least I didn't feel like it was. And so I felt stuck in this really high pressure situation with no way out in my mind. Like I couldn't figure out a solution, I couldn't figure out a way through the problems, like just dealing with people and their expectations. And I don't know if you know this, but people are the worst. Yeah. No offense. But, you know, just dealing with this stuff on an ongoing basis, not knowing how to get out, feeling with that anxiety, that feeling in my belly all the time. And then the knock-on effect of that is, like, I was never at home. You know, I was physically there, but not mentally there a lot of times. You know, not emotionally there a lot of times. And And there was a couple of things that happened that just made me realize the cost, or like the price that I was paying for dealing with this stuff. And I suppose the position that I'd allowed this situation to take in my life, in my heart, you know, that it had taken this place of significance, this place where, you know, when something went wrong or started to go wrong, my whole life just took this downwards, like, slope. And then, and there was a couple of things, like, with my kids, like, that really shone the light on that. Just, like, the, you know, the Jesse mainly, like, he's 5 and a half, he's no idea what's going on. But a couple of things that he said, just in complete innocence, just shone a light on this thing and made me go, whoa, there's something not right here. And this is stuff that Becky had seen a long time before, and she had told me about and called out, but I wasn't seeing it. And it was this moment that shone the light on it for me. And in that place, I remember I was sitting out. We have an office thing at the end of the garden, and that's where I work from. And I was sitting out there one evening, home church was on in our house. I'd like separated myself from that to deal with some issue that had come up in work. And I remember sitting there, like, head in my hands, going, I don't know how to do this. Like, I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know the way through this. And I heard this voice in my head just said, and it came out of nowhere. I was after thinking, I don't know how to do this. I can't see a way out of this. And this voice comes into my head going, well, if you were dead, you wouldn't have to deal with this. That's a way out. And I was like, whoa. Like, it just hit me. It was such a weird, out of the blue thought, because I wasn't feeling that way. I wasn't feeling like I needed to end my life. But this thought came into my head, and I was like, what? It's like snapped something in me to go, what? This is not right. There's something way, way off about this. And I remember I reached out for prayer into a group that I'm in, the home church group, and someone shared this scripture with me a couple of days later and sat with me and walked through this. And that's, the Lord has really changed my heart in this stuff, and that's what I want to share today. So we're going to start in Philippians 4, verse 5. And it's very simple. It just says, rejoice, the Lord is near. And this is, I'm not going to spend long on this bit, but this is like a foundational thing, and I'll come back to it later. Just to remember that he's always close by. The Lord is never far away from us, that he never leaves us, he never forsakes us, and he's not unaware of where you are and what you're going through and the stuff that you're feeling or experiencing. And without us saying anything, he knows, because he's near. Yeah? You with me? Yeah. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. But one of the things that I've learned or realized in the last number of months is that fear and worry and anxiety and all of those things, they cling on to the areas in our hearts where we think that God can't come through. Yeah? Like, they cling on to the things that we think God can't do. So, for example, like, I was dealing with this, like, crippling fear about being able to provide for my family. Right? There was in my head, at least, there was this pathway where I could lose my job, and then playing that situation out, like, lose my job, can't get another job, can't provide for my family. Like, there's a spiral there, right, in my mind. But what does that really say about my view of the Lord? Well, it says that he can't provide for my family. Yeah? And that root is a place where fear and worry and anxiety can take root, because there's something in me that says the Lord can't provide for me. The Lord can't do that. We have to be able to recognize those areas, those pieces of ground early, and be able to dig them up, be able to dig up the ground and dig out whatever that thing is, that whatever that core belief is that is creating a place for those things to grow, creating a place for anxiety to grow, creating a place for fear to grow, because those areas are the breeding grounds. Yeah, those areas are the things where, you know, you create space, unknowingly even create space for those thoughts or those patterns, or those cycles. I don't know if this happens to any of you, but I can get up into my head sometimes and I'll talk myself in, or think myself into this downward spiral. Yeah, like, you know, you're, this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and then he's going to say that, and then she's going to say this, and I'll say this, and then that won't happen, and this won't happen, and then suddenly the world has ended, you know. We have to be able to recognize those areas and kind of go, hang on a second. No, I actually do believe that the Lord can provide for me family, so this doesn't line up. And that scripture, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Someone shared that with me, and it just completely changed how I was praying. I was looking, here's the pattern that I was following, right? I'd encounter a problem, right? And I'm a fixer, right? I like to be able to fix things and figure things out, and like to a fault, like I'll try, like, yeah, like things that don't need solutions, I'm solutioning, you know? Like, I remember it was, I don't know how long ago it was, like 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. It was sooner than that. It was when Emily was born, I think. We were, you know, Becky was struggling a bit with some stuff going on there, and like we had this like real serious sit down, you know, and Becky was sharing all of her feelings, right? And literally in my head, I was like, right, let's get a checklist together. Let's get, like, figure out the steps. Have my phone out, like with a list, like ready to go, right? Like, here's a pathway for how we'll figure this thing out. And Becky was like, yeah, no, if you could just listen, that would be nice. So like to a fault, you know, I'm a fixer, and I like to figure things out. I like to, like, you know, identify solutions and patterns for how things can be changed or resolved. And this is how I was praying, you know. I see a problem, right, and I know enough to go, right, and I'll bring that to the Lord, like let's figure this out together. But everything I was praying was, Lord, you know, show me a solution to this, like, you know, show me your solution to this, show me the pathway through this, or, you know, like however many variations of that phrase you can think of, I asked. Like, you know, download it to me, Lord, reveal it to me, like write it in the sky, give it to me in a dream, like all of this, like however many ways. But that was probably after, like, I'd spent some time, you know, trying to do it myself first, right? But we don't talk about that. I wrote a lot of this stuff down. Like, one of the patterns I've tried to bring into my life recently is, like, I carry this little notebook with me, and I write down over the day, like, things that I'm praying for, things that I'm trying to think about, and looking back a couple of months, like, I could see this pattern of, like, just almost pleading with the Lord every day, like, show me solutions to this, give me wisdom, show me a pathway through it, and my entire, what I realized was my entire prayer life for months and months and months was focused on the problems that I was dealing with. Like, everything was about the problems. Like, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with that, so-and-so is doing this or not doing that. Like, Lord, help me, give me wisdom, show me how to solve this. But it was all about this thing. It was all about the problems. And you could say, like, and I did say this for a while, like, oh, well, you know, you're praying the right way. You know, you're asking for the Lord's wisdom, you know, for him. And you're like, I'll even give you the glory, Lord, you know, if you come through in it. But it was always about the problem, and the thing that I was missing was what's in this scripture, which is thanksgiving. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And someone suggested, the person who shared it with me suggested this, he said, forget about the problems and just give thanks. And I was like, yeah, right, that's real helpful, thanks. Like, you know, I'm dealing with all this, like, yeah, I'll just forget about it, yeah, that's... And then, like, because the connected thought to that was like, well, what do I have to give thankful to be thanks to the, to be thankful for, to give thanks for? Like, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with that, I'm trying to do this, trying to do that. And then, I don't know if I said it out loud or if he just knew I was thinking that, because he just started sharing then, like, you know, you have a beautiful wife, a lovely home, like two incredible kids, you have a job, you have, like, all that. He started listing all this stuff off, and I was like, whoa, like, actually... It sounds silly, like I actually do have stuff to be thankful for. But in the moment, I was so blinded by the problems. I was so blinded by the stress and the pressure and what was going on around me. And I missed it. I missed that opportunity to be thankful. I missed the opportunity to give thanks to God for the things that he's given me. And that doesn't mean that I shouldn't pray about the problem, but... It doesn't mean that I should, and it doesn't mean I shouldn't ask the Lord for help. But listen to the difference. And these are two prayers that I have written down from, I don't know when, a while ago. And so one of them, right? Listen to the difference between these. God, help me to resolve this problem. Help me to see the solution and to relieve the pressure. I can't do this without you. I need you to come through in this because I feel stuck and I feel lost. Right, that was one. Next one. God, I thank you for this ongoing opportunity to lean on you, to rely on you. Thank you for my job and the path you've allowed me to walk. I give it all into your hands. I need you in this. Whatever you decide works for me. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I think when you read in James 1, when he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind. I think that's what he means, like, to consider it. It's an opportunity for joy because you have an opportunity to rely on the Lord. You have an opportunity to lean on Him, to give thanks to Him for the things that He's done or that He's doing, and realizing that every trial is an opportunity to lean on Him. That everything is an opportunity to give thanks, and we have reason to give thanks in everything, for what the Lord has done for us. To take the focus off the problem, to take the focus off the situation. Lord, even to take the attention off myself for once, you know, and that coming out of that conversation, what realizing like the pattern that I've been falling into in my life, in the time since then, which is probably, I don't know, a month maybe, reading back on the prayers and things I've been saying to the Lord since then is completely different. It's like, you know, just there were days even when I didn't even mention the problems, right? And like, you can read between the lines and go, like, the days where I was giving thanks more was the days when it was really going down, you know. But the thing that was changed was my heart in giving thanks, that not even bringing the problems into the prayer time, right? But going back to what it said at the start, the Lord knows what's going on. The Lord is near. Yeah? He knows. Like, we don't have to tell Him. In the same way I didn't have to tell Becky I was stressed. Magically, she has a way of knowing. You know? The Lord knows. The Lord is near. And listen to the promise that comes with this. This is not just a nice thing to pray, but there's a promise that goes with this. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That when we present our requests to God with thanksgiving, His peace comes and guards our hearts and our minds. The places where we feel anxiety and fear, right, in your heart, when you're feeling that tension, that anxiety, when your heart is racing and pounding, your mind is going, giving thanks, bringing your prayers to the Lord with thanksgiving, the promise is that the peace of God will guard those areas, will guard that ground where there's otherwise opportunity for fear and anxiety to take root. That sounds pretty good to me. And then, okay, so then, that's good, yeah, I think. I found it good. I think the word of the Lord is good. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. Someone asked me recently, so I sent out that prayer request, kind of in that place, shared with a few people what was going on. And then a couple of weeks later, someone asked me, like, how are things going? Like, you know, we haven't talked about it or caught up with you since. Like, how has all that stuff been resolved? And I thought about it for a second and realized, like, actually, no, like, very little of it has been resolved. Like, very little actually has changed. There's a couple of things that have moved on, and the Lord definitely did some stuff in there, and I'm not taking away from that in any way. But the biggest thing that changed was me. The biggest thing that changed was my heart, and more specifically, the position of my heart towards the stuff that I was dealing with and towards the Lord. And in giving thanks to the Lord in my prayer time, somehow my heart had become less tied to the outcomes of the situations that I was dealing with. Right? For me, it was work. For you, it might be something else, family, or, you know, it could be anything. Relationships, finances, like, well, my heart was no longer tied to the outcomes, and the reason was because also my mind wasn't tied to it. Like, my head wasn't going to the places that I found it was previously, and I think the reason why is because giving thanks changes your mind. Like, it actually you know, not meaning like it makes you indecisive, but it actually changes you. It actually changes how your mind works. This is what it says in verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Here's the promise. And the peace of God will be with you. So when I'm praying and I'm thanking the Lord for what he's given me, when I'm thanking the Lord for my family, for my wife, for my kids, for my job, for my car, for my house, for everything that I have, for all the gifts that he's bestowed on me, for the way that he's delivered me, for the works that he's done in my life, do you think those things are classed as true and noble and pure and right and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy? I'd say yeah, because the works of God are all those things, yeah? And God is all of those things. And thanksgiving is a very practical way of changing your mind and turning your mind to think about these things, to turn your mind to think about what is true and lovely and praiseworthy and admirable and all of that list that I can never remember the right order of. And again, there's another promise in this. That when you think on those things, it says that the peace of God will be with you. So not only does the peace of God protect and guard your heart and your mind, but it's also with you. And the kind of the natural question on that is like, well, at the start, didn't I say that the Lord is always with us? Yeah, and so why is this different? Do you ever find yourself on your phone like scrolling, and you know, you're going down the algorithms, like, you know, just video after video or photo after photo or post after post, and then suddenly you realize that your kids are calling you, or someone's looking for you, or you get a smack of something that's been thrown at you across the room because you haven't been paying attention for 15 minutes. No, just me. you know, it's like suddenly when you come out of that place, it's like suddenly your world comes back into focus. You know, everything was all there while you were on your phone or while you were watching the telly or whatever it is, but your attention was so drawn into something else that you couldn't see it. That's why I think this means when the peace of God will be with you. We know that the Lord is always with us, but I think when we change our minds to focus on him and to give thanks to him and to think on what he has done, I think it brings him into focus. I think it brings him into, brings us to this place of realization that actually his peace is with me, you know, and it has been with me. I just haven't been seeing it. I just haven't been looking for it or able to focus on it. Yeah, so like giving thanks, it doesn't just bring God into focus in our lives, but it also unlocks that peace to guide our hearts and our minds and to protect that ground which would otherwise be an opportunity for fear or anxiety or worry to take up root and cause havoc in our lives. And for me, like, I was in that place where, I think I said already, like, I was dealing with that so much, in my head at least, that the problems were so big, the challenge was so tall, you know, there was so much going on that, like, I didn't even feel like I had something to give thanks for. I didn't feel like I had it, you know, and maybe some of you feel that way as well, but, like, we can start with the basics, like, you're alive, like, you're breathing. You know, you're here, you know, maybe you have somewhere to live, you know, maybe you have food on your table or in your presses, you know, you're able to enjoy fellowship with other Christians. Like, that we can be here together is something that not everyone gets to do. You know, we can give thanks for that. We can give thanks for our family or your spouse or your job. You know, there's something that we all can give thanks for. Well, what if you're dealing with stuff, right? So, okay, if you're sick, you know, you're something in your body or in your mind where you're not well, like, thank the Lord for an opportunity to see his healing power. You know, thank the Lord for an opportunity to rely on him for comfort when maybe nothing else is suitable. If your family is broken, then thank the Lord for being part of his family. You know, thank the Lord for that we can come to him as a child, that he's our loving father, That if you've lost your job, well, thank the Lord for the skills that he's given you, for the opportunity to rely on him for provision, to learn about how he provides. If you're stressed, to thank the Lord for his peace that surpasses all understanding, that that he's the great comforter, that he's given the Holy Spirit to us to be a comfort and a friend. That if we feel alone, we can thank the Lord for his presence. If you feel hopeless, we can thank the Lord that we're alive and that he sustains us. You know, and in all of these things, every single challenge, every single situation, we have an opportunity to draw close to the Lord. And that's what Jesus enabled for us, is that we, through the work that he did on the cross, we have this opportunity to draw close to him, to come into his presence. And in everything, that is something to give thanks for. That doesn't matter what this situation looks like, thank you, Lord, that I can come close to you. Thank you, Lord, that I have an opportunity to come close to you in this situation when I have nothing else to turn to. I have nothing else to give. I have no other solutions. I have no other outs. That's something to be thankful for. I'm going to hand over to Terry to lead us in communion, which is an incredible way of remembering and giving thanks for what the Lord has done. It's an incredible way of turning, changing our minds to think on the things that the Lord has done, the works that he's done, what he's enabled us to do. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for you, Lord. Thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you that we can always draw near to you, Lord, that we can always rely on you, Lord. And Father, I pray for each person here today, Lord, that wherever they're at, Lord God, that you would just reveal yourself, Lord. Just reveal yourself as exactly what they need, Lord, as a provider, as a comforter, as a friend, as a healer, Lord, as a provider, whatever it is. Lord, I just pray that you'll minister to people's hearts, Lord God, to see the opportunities to give thanks to you, Lord. And just corporately, even, Lord, we give you thanks for who you are, for what you've done for us, for the works of the cross, Lord, for the good news of the gospel, Lord, that we can take hold of every single day because of the blood of Jesus.